So after the end of TVM, you arrived at GMTV in January 1993 to host the show's post 8:30 a.m. show, as it was in that time. But within 3 months, I mean, deja vu, you're back doing your old job from TVM. How did you feel about that?
Actually, very mixed feelings about that, because when I left TVAM, myself and Dr. Hillary were the only two to be kept on. So it was really difficult. You know, it was really, really tough. But I had my own show and it was called Top of the Morning and everything was going swimmingly. But sadly, the bit before me just didn't work at all. So, like you said, they waited a couple of months and then got Eamon and I to do the show from 7 o'clock. And we... You know, it was hard because viewing figures were really down because people, you know, that liked TVM didn't particularly like GMTV. So viewing figures were way down and we had to kind of rebuild them up again. And it is really funny that now, you know, that's happened again. I've had to come back to do Daybreak again. But unfortunately, they left that 2 years rather than a few months. So, you know, there's a lot. It's a much tougher fight this time.
How do you cope? You're getting up at stupid o'clock in the morning. How do you cope?
Well, I guess because I'm doing something that I love and lots of people have to get up at 4 a.m. and they are usually doing a very, very tough job, whether it's, I don't know, something in the NHS or, you know, doing the bins or cleaning sewers, you know, they are not coming in of a morning to talk to Denzel Washington and the cast of Emmerdale, do you know what I mean? Or the biggest news story that's going out. So it's that really. And you know what? You just have to be I am very disciplined and I go to bed early and I don't drink during the week and I'm live like a blinking nun, but you've really got to and you've got to do your homework as well. I mean, I do about 2 or 3 hours a night just prepping for the next day, and oftentimes it is a waste of time in that the guests change, so you might have done all that homework and you never need it, but hey, you know, it'll come back another time.
One of your former colleagues, Ulrika Johnson, says Breakfast TV ruins your sex life. True
yes,
or false?
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. She's quite right. It does. It does. It absolutely does. And, you know, you just have to make up for it at the weekends and the afternoons.
Looking back at the GMTV days, I guess one of the biggest news stories was the passing of Princess Diana and, of course, the funeral. There was kind of no precedent set in broadcasting terms. Mm. How did you deal with that on air? Because it was very difficult because there was no sort of book to read, was there?
No, there wasn't. And we were all as shocked as everyone else. You know, it was absolutely shocking. You know, I think everybody remembers how they heard that news and where they were. And you're right. I mean, it was almost medieval, the funeral. I remember I was actually on Whitehall and one of the reporting all morning and also for ITN. And when the atmosphere was quite strange. The atmosphere overnight, because people were camping overnight, the atmosphere overnight was quite sort of like the Blitz, you know, like we're all in this together. It's quite jolly in a strange way. And as soon as the funeral cortege started coming down, it was like wailing and weeping. It was like I've never heard anything like it, actually. You know, people were so distressed and throwing flowers in the coffin. And like I say, it was almost medieval. Really, really strange and so, so sad. So sad.
If that's the... you know, the sad side of the job, the more pleasant side of the job is all the fabulous celebrities you get to interview. And I know you were desperate to talk to George Clooney and you finally got your wish. What was he like?
He was adorable. He was exactly what you think he would be. He was obviously handsome, but a really lovely guy. And he makes you think for that 10 minutes that you talked to him, or 15 or whatever it was, it went by in a flash, that he's, you know, you are the most important person to him in the world at that time. And also what I really like about him is he's got a great sense of humour. And he actually... makes an effort when he gives an interview. There's some stars that don't. They're doing it on sufferance. They don't particularly want to be there. But he, you know, he realises it's part of the job and he is a delight. Absolute delight.
You mentioned some stars can be tricky.
Yes.
One that springs to mind is Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
Tell us the story behind that.
Well, he was, shall we say, refreshed. Is that the kindest way to put it?
You can say whatever you want.
I think he was a little bit refreshed. And it was when I was on This Morning and he sort of bounced in. I remember he didn't have any shoes on. I thought, oh. And he bounced in and looked slightly manic, slightly hot and bothered. And then he said, he looked at me, sort of not in the eye, but he looked at another part of my anatomy and said, oh, you've got nice tits. He did. Don't know if I can say that on the radio. I just have. But he said, I had nice boobs. And there's absolutely no way of getting over that. You just kind of go, oh, thank you. I suppose it could be worse. He could have said I had horrible boobs. So, you know, it was fine. But that was that really put me on the back foot because you don't know quite how to recover from that. But yeah, that was a strange one. And that was, he was quite difficult, but not horrible. He was just a bit difficult just to pin down. He was like a little butterfly and he was all over the place.
And I also read that you've had a bit of a run-in with Lady Gaga. I can't believe this of nice Lorraine Kelly.
No, not really a run-in. It was just, she came on, she was great. She was absolutely brilliant. Bonkers in a really good way. No, the only thing was that she was supposed to come in, the second time she was supposed to come in, we were all waiting for her. It was 9:30 and the crew, bear in mind, I've been up since 5, but the crew have been up since like 3 in those days. I mean, now I get up at 4, but back then it was 5 o'clock. And at 9:30 we waited and we waited and we waited, and it was an hour went by, 2 hours went by, 3 hours went by, and she just never showed up. She was ready, she was getting ready all this time. We were getting like regular phone calls from her hotel suite by her massive entourage saying that she was on the way, and then eventually she got out the hotel and got into the car, and I don't know what happened, but she just never showed up. I don't know where she went. Maybe she went shopping, although mind you, dressed in a dress of meat. I don't think that's a good idea, but I don't know what happened. It was all very strange, and I really don't know. Some people, you just can't pin them down.
One of the great music guests you've had on the show was K.D. Lang.
Yeah.
And you're a big fan of K.D. Lang, aren't you?
I am. I mean, I think I forgot that I was on TV when I was watching K.D. Lang singing. That's one of the joys of my job, that I sit there and people are performing, you know, and she performed Helpless, a song by Neil Young, and it was beautiful. I was nearly in tears. It was so, so beautiful. A rare, rare talent. You know, one of these people that just sings from the heart and has been gifted by an amazing voice, and a delightful woman as well. A really, really lovely lady. Really like her a lot. Really like her.